Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
From the time we were little girls, we've been given a list of things to do and not to do in order to stay safe. But what are you supposed to do when you're attacked out of the blue? Today, we get honest about a recent scary situation that Andrea found herself in and work through the loaded question, what would you do? You're listening to Honest Women, the podcast for every woman who's trying to juggle the relationships, roles, and responsibilities that come with modern womanhood and finding it all just a little harder than she thought it would be. We're your hosts, Andrea Berkeley
and Jessica Hutchison, your new besties who just happen to be therapists. And while we believe that life is hard and there's no tip or trick that will solve that, it does get just a little bit easier when we can be real with each other and talk about it honestly.
You're listening to Honest Women. Hey, Jess.
Good morning, Andrea.
So at this point of our podcast partnership journey, we talk all the time, but something happened a couple weeks ago that I have not told you because I wanted to tell you. I know. I wanted to share this situation that had happened to me that was super scary in the podcast so that I could get your reaction. So this is something that our listeners are hearing at the same time that you are, which is kind of trippy.
Yeah, there's kind of a lot of pressure.
I know. I got nervous all of a sudden.
I did too. I'm like, oh my God, what if I don't react the way you want me to react?
Well,
oh no.
I mean, I guess we'll process that.
It'll be a whole other episode.
But before we jump into what happened to me, this whole incident got me thinking about how, as a culture, we're kind of obsessed with harm and safety for women. And what I mean about this is that I spend an inordinate amount of my time listening to true crime podcasts.
It's been a while, but I used to listen to them all the time. In fact, that's what would like get me motivated to move my body in the years that I was home with my kids. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go like run around the track right now so I can listen to my podcast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying you want to go run around the track so that you could be prepared to protect yourself.
No. I wanted to listen to all the other bad things that were happening to women who were not me.
Right.
Super healthy.
It's curious, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
This is when I do want to thank our listeners, especially those who love true crime like we do, for taking a break from all of that to spend 30 minutes with us. Technically, we're doing a bit of a genre crossover here, but very few of our episodes are like this. So make sure to follow the show in the podcast player that you are using right now to make sure that you keep the sometimes fiery, always insightful, and frequently funny conversations from us, the Honest Women, in your feed.
Sometimes we just make fun of ourselves.
Right. That's also nice sometimes.
That's fun. So, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not just the true crime. I've been following this account on Instagram of this woman who does safety tips. And ooh. I can't stop watching, even though they freak me out.
You know what's interesting to me is I should have known all of these things when I was younger.
Hmm.
Versus now. Mm-hmm. I wish I was as attuned to these tips, these safety things, and how easily something bad can happen when I was younger.
Do you not feel like we got also inundated with this kind of messaging when we were young? Because I feel like I spent my whole youth afraid of being kidnapped.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing. I was probably trying to get kidnapped in my youth. No. I'm kidding. Kind of. No, I would say I was very naive and ignorant in a sense, which ignorance can be bliss. But I think I knew bad things happened and I didn't realize how easily bad things could happen to me when it came to these particular situations.
Did you ever take precautions?
I was telling somebody this the other day how I miss having keys because I always carried the key between two fingers.
Yes.
And was taught you like stab them in the neck with your key if you get attacked.
Oh, I absolutely remember the feeling of having keys between all of my fingers so that I could just be ready to like punch someone right in the eye, you know?
Yes. And now I'm like, what are you going to do with your little remote?
I know. Your fob.
Yeah, your fob. Slap him with the fob. Like clearly a man like changed it to a fob.
Right.
I mean, not trying to be an asshole, but it's probably
a bad man. Okay. So since the time we were little girls, really, and definitely through our adulthood, we have been warned in a lot of ways that the world is scary and that as women, you have to take precautions. But then one day you're a 40-something-year-old woman and you're checking out at Whole Foods and something happens and you just didn't see it coming.
Whole Foods of all places.
I know.
Isn't everybody like there, like super healthy, happy, and hippie living lives?
That's what you would think,
right?
So obviously that was like really smooth transition into my story, but this is what happened. As I start to tell you about it, my chest is so squeezed up and my heart is beating too much.
Ugh.
So I went to the grocery store. It was 5 o'clock. I had my youngest son with me and we were having a really good day. You know, sometimes you're in the grocery store and you're frazzled and whatever, but we were having a really nice time. And it's funny, I'm noticing that I give you that detail because I want you to know right away that it wasn't my fault, what happened to me.
Wow.
Yeah, that's, I am noticing that is why I'm doing that. So we were having a really great day. I have my basket of groceries and as I'm checking out, I scan the app so that I can get my, you know,
Prime discount.
Yeah. And my husband actually just asked me, hey, it says that now we can pay with our Amazon Prime card and you get like 5% off. He said, but it didn't work for me. Will you ask the next time you go in? I said, sure. It hasn't worked for me in the past, but I'll ask because they said it's rolling out, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So I asked the guy, can I pay with this now? The little scanny barcode thing. And he was like, yeah, you should be able to pay with that. I said, okay, cool. So did you already scan it? We're just having like the briefest of conversations about how to scan my card on my phone. And a man comes up behind me. And let me paint the picture. It's not a really busy time. Sometimes you go to the grocery store and there's people everywhere and the lines are long and it's really stressful, but there's nobody there. It's just me, my son, the checker, and the bagger. And I'm telling you, like, as I'm saying this, my heart is squeezing up so much. And he starts, like, as I'm standing there talking, he says in this big booming voice, just take out your credit card and pay for your groceries. I was like, What is happening right now? And I'm ignoring him at this moment. And he starts running his mouth about, this is the problem with women. They just think that they can come into the store and just get all these things. And then they don't even know that they have to pay. You have to pay for your groceries. You just take out your card and pay for your groceries.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
This is a big man, well over 6 feet. He probably weighs like 250. Big man. Standing behind me in my space.
Oh my
gosh.
And
in this moment, my heart was like, what the? Like, I was like squeezed up. He was threatening and intending to be threatening. And I'm standing there and I'm ignoring him and I'm talking to the checker is like probably early 20s. And we're kind of looking at each other. So this guy continues to like run his mouth. And the woman who was bagging my groceries says, this should be working so you can pay on your phone. I'm going to grab you the Amazon number so you can call them. I said, that's great. Thank you. And when she comes back, I'm looking at her and I'm like, what is going on? She's like, I don't know. He's being very belligerent. So I go and I pay with my credit card because this isn't working. This all happens within the course of like 1 minute.
They're still
putting my groceries into bags. We're not standing there for 15 minutes going, well, that's so crazy, right?
You're not like I'm pulling just, your checkbook out and writing
no,
a check here.
I'm just paying for my fucking groceries. This is all in the normal course of checking out. And as I'm paying, I turned to the man. And I said, you know what? What you just did was totally inappropriate. That was not okay.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah. Well, I'm standing there
and you.
My mind is racing and I'm like shaking. My kid is there. And I'm like, no. Mm-mm. So I said something and he gets bigger. He gets louder. Women are stupid. They don't know how to pay. He just was like bleeding, gross misogyny. Wow. I was like, that wasn't at all what was happening here. I know exactly how to pay for groceries. You are out of line. Now at this point, the Whole Foods employee is like, sir, that's not what's happening, and tries to step in and he just keeps it up. They're loading my stuff into my cart. He said something like, I hope your son learned something today.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Here's the funny moment.
I feel like there's nothing funny about this.
I know, but this is the ironic moment. He's holding two things in his hand. And I did say at one point, there is a self-checkout right over there if you're in a hurry. You can go over there. There's no line. There's no line at any of these other registers, actually. And he's holding Sonoma chicken salad. That fucking bougie-ass Sonoma chicken salad. I'm like, I'm sorry if you're having a mental breakdown. Because you're about to pay $40 for a little pint of chicken salad.
Chicken, you dumbass. Right.
But I'm just like, the whole thing is so bizarre. So I'm walking out and my son, he's like, I feel really bad. And I said, why? He said, I wanted to say a bad word to that man. I was like, oh, so you were hearing everything that was happening. He's like, I wanted to say the F-bomb. And I was like, well, I'm glad that you didn't. And I was loading up my groceries into my car, but I was right outside the entrance. And the man comes like careening out. And I just felt super threatened. And so I turned around. And as he was getting into his car, I took a picture because I was like, I don't know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It just felt like something that would help me be safer. And I told myself, I was like, get in the car to my son. And as the man pulls his car out of his spot, he drives up by me and he goes, did you get the picture you wanted, you whore?
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then he drives away.
I'm like speechless. I'm actually speechless. Yeah. At what, like how it just continued.
It was the most bizarre, the most upsetting. I was shaking in the car.
Yes.
I then went home. I couldn't get out of the car. And then I did the funniest thing. I signed on to Facebook and I posted about the incident in our local mom's group with the question, what should I have done? And to this day, I cannot tell you why I did that.
I was just going to say, what was the motivation other than like the injustice of it?
Well, I think part of it was that. And I think the other part of it was, it's almost like I felt like I needed to warn other women, even though this situation is unlikely to repeat itself. But a situation like this very well might. And I think I was genuinely questioning, like, did I do the right or wrong thing? What would other women have done? But I think in a way, I just needed the comfort that could come with a group of women hearing this story.
Absolutely.
I mean, also, to be fair, I was absolutely thinking I should post this motherfucker's picture and the picture of his car with his license plate, which was very distinct. I should post it on the internet and he should be publicly shamed.
For sure. I understand that motivation.
Yeah, I still stand by that. I decided not to do that because what I really thought at that moment was, I mean, hopefully he's a lonely basement dweller who has no women in his life, but there's a possibility that this is someone's husband.
Right.
And I don't not post it for him. This piece of shit should absolutely be known, but I didn't post it for her because I imagined that could have blown back on her.
Yeah, or somebody who, if they have children and somebody recognizes him, I'm with you on protecting children and wife, not him. Mm-hmm. I also would be terrified to put it out there with my name attached to it.
Well, yeah, I didn't think about that. And I will definitely come back to that because I didn't think about that. I posted this with my name on it. And now I wonder if that was the right thing to do.
Oh my gosh.
A lot of responses to this on the local moms group. And I want to talk through those responses here with this caveat. I felt so cared for and supported by each and every comment that was made on that post. And depending on the day, I could have made any of the comments on that post. But it's interesting. Being on the receiving end of those comments that I solicited made me realize things that I wouldn't have thought about as a commenter. So I want to talk through those in our trademark, honest way. But I really want our listeners to know that in no way is this conversation a condemnation of any comment that was left. It's simply a chance to play out in real time the complicated feelings that someone can have to the reactions they receive from other people. Okay. A lot of women said, say nothing, ignore. A little bit like, be the bigger person and just don't say anything or kind of stay in your own lane. I'd love your responses to any of these things.
I mean, that first one, like the only reason I would agree with that is because he already had such unpredictable and inappropriate behavior stay in your lane and don't say anything to me would be less about because you should. Right. No, like in a perfect world, you put that asshole in his place. Right. However, people scare me when they're that erratic mm-hmm. with their behavior. And so the only reason I say shut up and stay in your lane is to protect yourself. Yeah. That's it. Mm-hmm.
There were, of course, a number of women who said you should have a snappy comeback, which, to be honest, just wasn't available to me in that moment.
No, of course not. There's no logic. Mm-mm.
No, I was not in that space. There were a lot of people who said I should have gotten bigger and I should have gotten way more aggressive. I should have turned.
I disagree with that.
Yep. I mean, I should have yelled. I should have done a lot more.
But why, right? I think that's why. Like, no, this is not okay. Right. This is inappropriate behavior. However, why is it on you to correct this gentleman, not even this gentleman, that asshole's behavior right. and put yourself at risk or your child right. at risk? To me, it becomes about protection and self-protection. Yep. Versus being this superhero that at the end of the day, regardless of what you say, is not going to change his behavior because he's clearly an asshole.
Yeah. And one of the things that came up, and I thought this was such an interesting point, was standing up for yourself is a great thing to teach your kids. And I was definitely sitting there going, but is it?
But I think there's a difference between standing up for yourself and protecting yourself. Mm-hmm. I look at it like a road rage situation. Mm-hmm. Okay, somebody is trying to cut you off. Am I going to tell my child to stand up to that road rage person? No, you back off.
Right.
Back off. Know when it's appropriate mm-hmm. to stand your ground and when it's smarter and safer to back down. Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
And the truth is, none of the people who answered my question could know what was smarter or safer. None of us know what would have happened next. And I was so honored by a really wonderful outpouring from women in my community. A lot of, I'm so sorry that this happened to you and your son. And there was a lot of encouragement, like you did the best that you could. And I was glad for all of it. But I think I realized after I posed the question is that the problem with that question, what would you do, is that you never know what you would do. There's no way to know from a position of listener what you would do in the moment that something scary is happening to you. Because in the moment, it's complicated.
It is very complicated.
Yeah, there's just a whole lot of biological and social things that are going on. And so I thought it would be good for us to talk a little bit about what was going on for me in that moment.
Yeah, because it isn't logic. Mm-hmm. Your sense of safety was being challenged. Mm-hmm. And when our sense of safety is being challenged, we don't go to logic. And neurologically speaking, we go straight to emotion and it's about protection. Mm-hmm. So it is easy for somebody on the outside to say, you should come up with this comment. You should say that. Yeah. If you don't have a nervous system that is activated mm-hmm. out of fear of harm. Right.
Yeah. I really do believe in trusting your gut. And my gut was telling me that I was at risk.
Yeah. Mine would have too.
But it's funny because even as that was happening, I think that there's that other layer that's going, but are you making too big of a deal about this?
No.
That's going like, are you really at risk in Whole Foods with the asshole with the Sonoma chicken salad? Like, is this really happening? But while that might have been a thought that came maybe after the fact in the moment, like you said, it's just biological. My gut was saying you're at risk and my brain was taken over with that fight, flight, freeze thing that it does.
Yes. And I think in situations like that, when we're talking fight or flight, I'm more likely to flee. Mm-hmm. And being able to see that sometimes getting the hell out of the situation is the best choice mm-hmm. because people are unpredictable. Mm-hmm. So to me, you did the absolute best thing you should have done. I think you tried to advocate for yourself. Mm-hmm. Man made a comment. You responded by advocating mm-hmm. for yourself and in a different situation, in a different human, that person likely would have heard you and been like, you're right, I'm sorry,
right.
and stood down. But he didn't. He leveled up. And when he levels up, I disagree with you leveling up because you're not going to win that battle. And this guy is nuts. Right. He is not emotionally stable. And why would anybody argue or step up to somebody who's not emotionally stable? Right. They're too unpredictable.
Well, yeah. And I think that the truth was what my body knew in that moment was I am a lot smaller than this man.
Yes.
And I feel like there were almost two things happening, right? There was my body that was saying I'm at risk, but then there was also almost like my values were being threatened, right? Because I believe in strong women and I believe that we can say and do anything. And yet there I was standing next to a man who was attacking me for no reason, who was a lot bigger than me, who could have done anything from that moment on.
Yes.
And I've since really, really struggled with that feeling of like, I believe the world to be one way. And I just found that it wasn't. I believe Correct. That women are equal to men. And I just found that that guy could have punched me in the head mm-hmm. and I could mm-hmm. be dead from that. Mm-hmm. We just weren't equal no. in that situation.
No. And I think that's what's hard is with men and women from a physical standpoint, a lot of times it isn't equal. I mean, in general, men have more muscle capacity than we as women do. Mm-hmm. Right, wrong, or the other. That's just science.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's scary. Mm-hmm. And that's where, yeah, it is not okay. Mm-hmm. And it really, I would love to know if he would have treated a man the same way, which I'm guessing not, mm-hmm. especially a man that was his size or larger. I think it's hard not to go to the injustice of the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was definitely being treated the way I was being treated because I am a woman. Mm-hmm. And again, like I wasn't doing anything wrong, but there was a man who hates a woman, just like there is a racist person who hates a black person, and that black person didn't do anything wrong, but they have since been right. attacked. I think that sense of that injustice that was happening was just kind of overwhelming. And then all of our social conditioning kicks in too. We're taught as women not to make a scene. And then I think one more element of this story was that a lot of people said, you should have asked for help.
How?
Right.
By who? Like the young clerk? Right. It's not, I mean, it's not his responsibility right. unless there's a security guard around. Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, he would have been the one that needed to step up and call a manager.
And he was probably scared.
Yeah, of course he was scared. He didn't know what was going on. Or the woman who was doing the bagging. Now, she walked away over to the customer service center. She should have called a manager. But again, she didn't think to. Because it was so bizarre and so out of left field. And then I wonder if I had said, we need a manager over here, what would have actually happened?
I know. It is a hard one. I get like ask for help, but in that particular situation, it sounds like his behavior caught everybody off guard. Mm-hmm. And when everybody's caught off guard, nobody knows how to respond. Mm-hmm. Everybody's just kind of frozen in it or stuck. Mm-hmm. And that's where, to me, the best thing you can do is protect yourself. Yeah.
But I think the point about that fight, flight, freeze is that once your brain stem takes over, you don't know what the best thing to do is to protect yourself. Your body's going to take over. And Correct. If I had created a big scene, if my body had told me fight, I would have been no more in charge of that than if my body had told me to curl up into a little ball and flee. It takes over.
It takes over. Because it's all about a survival, right? Right? Like the whole fight or flight response, and then later comes freeze, is all about saving yourself from death. That is the actual nature of it. And so when that takes over, it's all about self-preservation. Mm-hmm.
So after I sat in the car for a few minutes and posted this on social media, I have questions.
Again, probably myself. Not your logical brain that did that.
You're right. It was not my logical brain that did that. I sat in the car for a bit and I came into the house and I was just off. Like I was off for the whole rest of the night. And I told my husband about what happened and he honestly responded perfectly. He was horrified. He did not diminish it. He, like me, felt the need to do something. He supported me in being like, well, maybe you should call the non-emergency police number. Maybe you should call the store. And I did both of those things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And embarrassingly, like I cried on the phone with the police officer and he's like, I can tell this really upsets you and it's not okay. But sometimes people do things that are awful, but they're not unlawful. And I was like, oh God, how many women have you said that to?
He isn't wrong, but ew, that is not okay. that's so hard.
Right. And I talked to the store so that they would know, like I wasn't blaming anybody. I'm like, nobody knew what to do, but you guys need to know what to do. And so maybe you can talk to your employees about how to call for help, because that could have really gone wrong. And I felt honestly lucky in retrospect that my 13-year-old wasn't there.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Because he looks older than he is, and either he wouldn't have said anything and internalized all the shame about why he didn't, or he would have said something and tried to step up. And that just feels like a scary situation too.
Ooh, great point. Yeah. Great point.
So when you have been in an event where your safety was threatened, there are a few things that you can expect that you might go through. And I went through all of them. I mean, the first thing that happened was that I couldn't stop thinking about it. And when I tried to go to bed that night, I played that scenario in my head over and over and over again, trying to figure out if I did the right thing, if I did the wrong thing, what would have happened if he had a gun in his car? I just went over and over and over it in my head. And it was super upsetting, and it kept me up.
I think when we get caught in the rumination of, did I do the right thing? What should I have done? What could I have done? What scenarios? To me, it's about meaning making and trying to make meaning out of the situation. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious what the narrative for you now is with that situation.
The narrative for me now is that the world is a scary place and I'm not as safe as I thought I was.
Yeah.
And that no matter what I believe about women and equality, unfortunately, that's also not true when it comes down to someone being insane.
And I think that is the narrative that your brain was trying to look for when you were going through all of these scenarios. And you might have already had that narrative and didn't want to accept that narrative, because who would? Mm-hmm. I don't want to accept that as truth, but it kind of is.
I think that most of the time when I'm walking around now as a 40-ish year old woman, I do all the things without thinking that I'm supposed to do to stay safe. And then, you know, I just didn't see this one coming. And so I think that that was really, it was a difficult realization. And probably playing that over in my head 1,000 times was my brain trying to regain control.
Mm-hmm.
When this truly scary conclusion has been reached that, like, actually, I'm not as safe as I thought I was, and the world does not evolve as I thought it was, my brain was trying to be like, oh, no, no, no. Well, here's how you could stay safe.
Mm-hmm. You were trying to get that sense of safety and security back that we're now realizing may not be there.
Yeah.
I think one thing that does happen in the aftermath is getting caught in the injustice of it. Because it is wrong. His behavior is not okay. Yeah. And that should not have happened to you. Mm-hmm. And that's another form of rumination, but almost just like anger, right? Like, I'm so angry this happened and it shouldn't happen. And why is it okay that it's going to happen or that it continues to happen? And I thought the world was different. And it can keep us really caught in the details of the situation or the anger.
I felt a lot of anger, and some of the comments that I received were things like, just shake it off. Don't let it ruin your day. And I'm like, I can't fucking shake it off. I'm like literally
shaking.
That's
just not possible.
Right.
It's not possible to just shake it off when you're in a situation where your nervous system gets activated and you're in full fight or flight. Mm-hmm. You can't just shake it off. Mm-hmm. It's not how our bodies and our minds work. Mm-hmm. And I hate that. It minimizes your experience.
Yeah, there was nothing that I could do to just shake it off. And then there were a lot of people who said things, and I know they were trying to have some sort of full situational empathy, like consider what he might have been going through to act that way.
I mean, come on. This goes to show how terrible people are with validating another person's experience instead of just saying that's terrible. Yeah. But I'm all for empathy. Mm-hmm. I love empathy. Mm-hmm. There's a time and place for it. And practicing empathy is not appropriate when somebody verbally, physically attacks you. Mm-hmm. And I think practicing empathy for a man's behavior enables it and says it's okay.
Absolutely. Like, well, but he must have been having a real bad day.
No. Uh-uh. That is where I'm like, not anymore, ladies. Mm-hmm. I will not be okay with that type of empathy.
No. I think it was just interesting that at that moment, asking someone who's been through something traumatic to caretake anybody else, even just in their mind, is like just not a thing that you can do.
A man would never say that to another man.
No.
Ever.
No, never. The last thing that's happened to me since this incident happened that I feel like I need to share is that I don't like going back to that store.
I think that speaks to how traumatic it was and how activated your nervous system was. Mm-hmm. It's storing it as trauma.
Oh, you're so right. And that actually makes me feel a lot better. Like, I forced myself to go back into the store that next week, and I definitely was hard on myself. I was like, what is wrong with you? Don't be a big wuss. Obviously, this man is not in the store. You're fine. You need to get over this. Right? I'm a therapist. Sometimes I wonder about myself. But I said all of this stuff to myself because I didn't want to be dramatic.
That's old programming.
I know. I was out of town and I went to a different store this week and I was like, oh, it feels so much better grocery shopping here. And I think I'm kind of at the point where I don't know that I'm going to be able to go in on a regular basis right now.
No, I think you need to give yourself some grace with that. Mm-hmm. Let your system settle. Every time you go back to a place where there was a trauma, it's not going to desensitize it. Mm-hmm. It's going to actually heighten it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at least for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the sense that there's like a potential threat has passed.
No.
So I know you mentioned this before, but a few days after I posted, a kind-hearted woman from the group encouraged me to take the post down for my family's safety. And I had to sit with that for a while and wonder, like, am I actually at risk? This is a mom's group. I fought against that for sure. I was like, meh. I wanted to diminish it. But then I realized that just like I didn't know if that lunatic had a gun in his car, I didn't know if he was in the group.
Exactly. Or you don't know if he has a partner or somebody else that's in the group that is equally terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And could come after you.
Yeah. And I realized I couldn't assess that risk accurately. And if this man showed up at my door, if he hurt me or my kids, that I and everyone in that mom's group would think that I was the one to blame. And then don't post about the threatening things that happened to you in a local Facebook mom's group would be the next thing in a long line of rules that women have to live by or risk being harmed by an aggressive, misogynistic man. So I took it down, which it didn't bother me so much until we had to prepare for this episode. And then I wish I really could have gone back and seen the exact comments. I had made some notes at the time. So imagine my luck, if you can call it that, that when I opened up Facebook a couple of days ago, there was an anonymous post in another local mom's group where a woman who was with her kids in a crowded place, just trying to get them some food, she posted that she was threatened by a man in the crowd. And in the comments to that post, in addition to all of the would have, should have, could have suggestions and a lot of good encouragement, it was story after story after story after story of other moments when women were threatened by the men around them.
It's horrible.
Yeah. So when this incident happened to me, one of the things that was the worst about it was that I felt totally and completely alone. And I'm sad to say that if you're a woman, you or somebody who's close to you has probably been in a situation like this where you felt threatened and even where you may have been harmed. So I just want to say to you the things that I had said to me by many wonderful women. No one knows what they're going to do in a situation like that. And if this happened to you, it's not your fault. And no matter what you did the best that you could. And you are not alone.
You've just finished an episode of the Honest Women podcast. We are so honored that you would spend this time with us. We have so much more where this came from and don't want you to miss a minute. So please, right now, take a second to follow the show. While you're there, leave us a 5-star rating and a review. It's the best way to help other women find our show so they can join the conversation. And if you have a friend who could use a little more honesty in her life, and who couldn't, send this episode directly to her. Actually, send this episode to anyone you want to. Everyone's welcome here. We'll be back next Wednesday speaking some truth and feeling some feels. Until then, hang in there, ladies. This has been Honest Women.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.